Today on Real Radio.
Christians' strength in difficult days will not be in the White House or on the Wall Street, but in God's Word and in God's house. And these are very challenging times, but this is a great time. It's a great time for us to be alive as Christians. I almost feel overprivileged.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. In the verses we're looking at, the Messiah gives his followers seemingly mundane instructions for when they go out to evangelize. The passage provides a valuable lesson in being dependent and trusting in our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days.
The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days. And church, while you're turning to Luke chapter 22, we'll be in verses 35 to 39 over the course of the next few weeks. Why? Because of this right here. The Christian's strength in difficult days. Church, we are in the midst of difficult days. And it's not just from pulpits now that people are being warned to be ready and be strong and have faith in the Lord and strengthen your family and pray and get to know those that are around you, for we're going to need one another. But now we're hearing it from the world itself. Very interesting time, but for the believer, I want you to be encouraged. Let me first read, you follow along with me, this portion of Scripture, and then we'll get into our one and only point for today as we look at part one. Luke chapter 22, verse 35, Jesus, remember, they're in the upper room. They're in Jerusalem. And Jesus said to them, the disciples, when I sent you out without money bag, without knapsack or your sleeping bags or sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. And then he said to them, but now. Church, mark that. That's a radical statement. But now. The word means things are different now. Things are changing now. He who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, you got a sleeping bag, a knapsack, grab it. And he who has no sword, let him sell his jacket, his garment, and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And now he quotes from Isaiah. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Close quote. For the things concerning me have an end. So they said to him, Lord, look, there are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Or the word means in the Greek, which if we were to say today in the modern day tongue, he would say, forget it. It's a declaration of frustration on Jesus' part. It means you're not getting what I'm saying. And now coming out, that is out of the upper room, he went to the Mount of Olives, about an eighth of a mile away, by the way, from that point to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom, and his disciples followed him. His disciples followed him. That's called a Christian. When disciples, you know what a disciple is, right? In fact, technically, as I was being discipled by the Lord in preparing this message, I'm to get up now and follow him. I'm to follow him, first of all, in the preparation of this message, asking God to make it my own. That is my own life first. Lord, make this in my life first. And then to come out into the pulpit and then to teach and to announce. Now you become disciples. And then you leave this place and you say, Lord, make it my own. Cause me, Lord, to live this out. Why? We're in the 21st century, if you haven't caught on. The world's changed. And the world is changing. Syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer said, quote, the jury is in, and the Obama stimulus package has failed to perform, and the jobs promised from it look as though they may not return at all. Another worry lurks on the horizon. the well-used cash for clunkers program that gave the auto industry a quick monetary sugar rush may soon send the banking system even deeper into trouble, as those buyers may choose to walk away from their bank-purchased automobiles. That is a looming disaster, by the way, that's before us. Neil Cavuto, host of the Your World with Neil Cavuto on the Fox Business Channel, said, quote, "The bubble has burst. The days of retirement and anticipated ease are quickly evaporating from our American way of life. Christians' strength in difficult days will not be in the White House or on the Wall Street, but in God's Word and in God's house." And these are very challenging times, but this is a great time. It's a great time for us to be alive as Christians. I almost feel overprivileged. With all that's going on, you and I possess the answer to the meaning of life. You say, well, that's a grandioso statement. Well, it sounds grandioso if I was an idiot, but I'm only banking on my Bible. I'm not banking on the bank. I'm looking to the Word of God that will never change. It will never, never go anywhere. You guys, it is forever. It is eternal, not because I'm saying so. It's because it is true, and it has proven itself true, and it shall always be true. It is God's eternal Word. He never changes. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him. And we need to be very, very careful to be trusting Him at an hour like this. You need to be trusting Jesus Christ. Number one, verses 35 to 36. What is it that Jesus is trying to communicate to His followers 2,000 years ago? It's the same thing today, and it's this. God has promised to provide for us. God has promised to provide for us. And let me tell you something right now, and I don't mean to be too rough on you right now at all whatsoever, but if I were to use this point in some other country, maybe in Africa, where we've got a team flying back at this hour that's returning from Mali, one of the poorest countries in the world. You mentioned something like that, that God has promised to provide for us. And in a country like that, the people will start singing and shouting, because you know what? They still know that they got a chicken when they get back home to slaughter and barbecue over the sticks that they're going to burn, and they know they're going to eat that night. And they got a couple of handful of beans, and they're going to boil some of the grass, and they're going to eat. And they're not worried about it. God provides. And they would say, amen. They know that. They've lived like that. You say, well, Pastor, God has promised to provide. Then how did my ski boat get repossessed last month? God did not promise us ski boats. See, we begin to think that, you know what? What about my airplane? What about my ski boats? What about my vacation home? What about my fill in the blank? God didn't promise us those things. We have been overblessed as a nation. He's been too good to us. He's so amazing. You're here right now, and you and I may be in some level of health. I don't know. We say, well, Pastor, I barely got here. Oh, but thank God you got here. And listen, well, I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to make it home. Well, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Well, you know what? Listen, to live is Christ, the Bible says. To die is gain. Hey, listen, you guys, if it all comes to a screeching halt in a moment, the Christian just gets richer. Amen. We're going home to see Jesus. God always provides. So we can never accuse Him of not providing. We have clothes. None of you are naked, are you? Please. No. I mean, you may be impressed with yourself, but we don't think you're so hot. Keep your clothes on. God's provided clothing. And I want you to consider this. He has proven Himself faithful. Look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, to the disciples, and I love it. When I sent you out, He's referring back to Luke chapter 9. When I sent you out without money bag and without backpack or without sandals, did you lack anything? And they quickly answered back, no, Jesus, we didn't lack anything. It was pretty amazing. That's Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. I'll paraphrase it. This is what happened. Jesus said, okay, you guys, here's what I want you to do. I've given you the gospel. I want you to go. I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go out, and I don't want you to take anything. I don't want you to take any money. I don't want you to take any sleeping bags. You don't need to take nothing. You're going to be armed with the gospel. By the way, if you're a Christian today, so are you. Oh, you're armed with the gospel. You're a dangerous, dangerous person. thing in the eyes of Satan. In you dwells the knowledge to tell someone about the love of God and the forgiveness of sins that can set them free and rob them from the wicked, black, horrible crown of Satan and be placed, as it were, as a gem in the crown of Christ. You've got that power. The Holy Spirit is in you. You know how to get to heaven, and you are a great threat to the kingdom of darkness. It's amazing. Don't you love being a threat? And he said, go. And remember when they came back, they said, Jesus, this is an awesome program. Demons even obey us. We raised the dead. People were healed. People were cleansed of leprosy. It's amazing. And Jesus said, hey, don't get too pumped up about that. That's nothing. Remember what he said? Get excited over the fact that your name is written down in heaven. Now that you get excited about. That's incredible. He said, did you lack anything when I sent you? Nope, didn't lack anything. And he's telling to them, well, now times have changed. God will provide. He's faithful to do that, but times have changed. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 7, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful. God is faithful. Kings of the earth someday will bow their knee. And when they bow, they're going to dip their head and put their scepter down at the foot of Jesus, and they'll have to confess, you've been faithful. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commands. He's faithful. God is faithful. You want to hear about some more faithfulness? I love this stuff. Watch this. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You can turn there if you want. It's a huge portion of Scripture. Or you can just look at the screen. I just saw that. There it is. No one can serve two masters. Oh, we had to put this in granite and ship it to Wall Street right now. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. This morning I was, well, do I wear this shirt or do I wear the other shirt? Which shirt do I wear? Are these pants okay? So I'm sorry, I just shared that. I'm just... Is not life more than food and body more than your clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Watch this. You gotta love the way Jesus teaches. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Isn't that great? Jesus is saying, come on, disciples, wake up. You ever see a bird walking around going, man, it's really rough out there. I don't know how we're going to make it. You don't see a bird flying around with a shovel and a little rake and it's trying to plant some seed and it's just tapping its little foot waiting for the crop to grow so it can eat. They don't worry. Jesus says, listen, we need to be like that. Don't worry. You say, Pastor, it's easy for you to say, but I got so much to worry about. Don't worry. You know what's funny about worrying? 99% of the stuff we worry about never happens. Isn't that hilarious? It's almost like God's rubbing it in. You nincompoop. You knucklehead. Look at you worry. Jesus says, don't worry. You're more valuable even than the birds. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your height? In fact, if you worry, you'll get shorter. I don't know how that works, but I'm certain it does. It has to. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God, who so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you a little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things do the unbelievers, the Gentiles, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows. And verse 33 is a home run. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. What an amazing declaration of Jesus. Listen, my friend, listen to this. If you are worrying about something right now, then you have assumed upon your own shoulders a responsibility that God has never intended for you to have. It's his business. And anything that you and I have outside of what God has promised to provide for us is most often a liability rather than a great blessing. Think about it. It's so sad and funny at the same time when you begin to acquire things. I remember being too young, making too much money. I was 19 years old, making too much money. I got in trouble. I didn't do anything illegal. But here's how I got into trouble. I began to worry. Every paycheck, I watched my balance go up, and I got addicted to that. I'm a freak. If there's this much money in the bank account, if I wait one more month, how much more will it be? And if I stop eating, so there's no food bill, and if I don't go anywhere or do anything, it's going to get even bigger faster. Okay, I'm a lunatic. And God, in his incredible love and mercy, wound up taking that all away from me. And I thank him for it. Amen. But you know what happens? You begin to hoard stuff up. Have you ever seen a chipmunk with nuts or whatever, the squirrels with nuts? They start packing up. Have you ever seen them? You ought to watch them. You see, man, look at that greedy guy. You put some nuts out there on the deck and they come and they pack in the... And then he runs somewhere and he puts them... I don't know how he does that. He pushes the nuts into the hole, sits on it. Listen, that works for squirrels, because God programs squirrels to store up nuts for the winter. Squirrels store nuts. People, we don't do good when we store. God never made us to store, because you know what happens? It begins to take a hold of our heart. It begins to grab onto us. It begins to possess us. Jesus says, did you lack anything? Nope, didn't lack a thing, Lord. All right. That's because I'm faithful. There's a sense where we are to be a provider. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But there's a sense where we begin to sneak in a little bit and begin to hang on to what God has given. And how do you know that's happening in your life? Church, listen, be very quiet. Don't jump up and say, it's the guy next to me. But if you begin to worry, then we're forgetting the power and the control and the ownership that's uniquely God's. We've brought nothing into this world, as the saying is, and it is certain we will take nothing out. We need strength. And the Christian at a time like this should be the strongest in our communities. We should be the ones on our streets that are saying, hey, you guys, how's it going? What's happening? Neighbors, what's up? You guys all right? The opportunity's coming. If that's not happening on your street, it's going to happen in time. Why? Because the world is going through its reaping of what it has sown. The Christian's hour is arriving. Our moment is coming to proclaim and to stand and to hand out the greatest news the world will ever know. And gold can't buy it, money can't buy it, oil can't buy it. It's free. It costs God everything, but it's free. And God is faithful. Another thing is this. He's not only promised to provide for us, but he's called us. Now listen, he's called us to do the same. I want you to mark that down. He has proven himself to be faithful, but now he has called us to do the same. As Christians, we should be the most faithful people in the world. How many of you are employers? Raise your hand. You're employers. Raise your hand. You should be the most faithful employer that your employees have ever known. How many of you are employees? Raise your hands. We should be the most faithful employees that the company or companies we work for have ever known. How many of you are husbands? Raise your hands. How many of you are wives? Raise your hands. How many of you are single? Raise your hand, just so you can raise your hand. There you go. Okay. The most faithful. The most faithful. Against what we feel, against what our emotions dictate, against who says what, the most faithful. You say, Jack, that's a tall order. Jesus turns to the disciples in a moment, and he's going to be announcing to them, as I have been faithful, now you be faithful. Look at verse 36. Then he said to them, it's the order of a commander. Don't you love it? But now, circle that word. That's huge. We have two words in English. But now, there's a change in the air. Something's going to be different, boys. He who has a money bag, grab it. Take it. He who's got a backpack with a sleeping bag in it, a knapsack, grab it. And he who has no sword, sell his shirt and buy one. You're going to need it. What is Jesus announcing? He's been saying this, I've been feeding you guys, I've been sailing with you guys, I've been walking with you guys, I've been ministering with you guys, and I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going back home. You went to the ministry with me, and you got hungry, and I fed you. You got in a boat, you went out on the sea in the middle of the night, got stuck in a big storm, and I came walking on the water, and I rescued you. Thousands of people were following us. They were hearing the gospel. They wound up following us so far that they got far from home. And you came and you told me, Jesus said, you told me that they were weary and hungry and without their homes. And don't you love that story, by the way, when Jesus send them away. Can you imagine? Jesus, your church is getting too big. Will you send some people away? They're hungry. And Jesus turns to the disciples. I would have loved to have seen their face. Can you imagine this? Can you guys hear me? Jesus says, why don't you guys, the 12 of you, you feed them. There's only about, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people here in total because the Bible records 5,000 men. What if they had their wives and kids with them? Could have been 10, could have been 12,000 people. Jesus says, yeah, they are pretty pooped out, aren't they? And it is late in the day. This sundial's saying it's going to get dark soon. Why don't you feed them?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days. It's actually a mini-series taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, being in this chapter means that we're somewhat nearing the end of this New Testament narrative, with just two more chapters to go. If you've just recently made Real Radio part of your daily routine, you may be interested in our featured resource, this entire series through the Book of Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and really, to learn the importance of internalizing this first century historical narrative, go to realradioactive.org and click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by by Real Radio.